From the macabre minds of Laughing Devil Production comes another story from the Nightshade Diary. You know what that means. Check under the bed and make sure no one or nothing is there. Is the closet door securely shut? Then leave your disbelief behind, amp up your imagination, and hang on tight for another ride into terror and mystery. And like all good horror stories, just imagine it's a dark and stormy night. And remember, screaming like a little girl is permitted. The lore of the Old West, stories of gunslingers, tribal and territorial warfare, missing treasure, is undying. But are the historical records to be believed? Let's find what the clues are and see what's the truth, improbable or otherwise. And today we're going to be looking at the mysterious death of Billy the Kid and Sheriff Pat Garrett. And we're going to start with Billy the Kid, but we're going to go way back, even before Billy was born. And it shows in the 1860 census that a 30-year-old woman named Catherine McCarty is listed as living as a pauper in the Erie County poorhouse. She had immigrated from Ireland, escaping the potato famine. Now, this dovetails with little information that is known about Billy's mother, Catherine. Now, there's a possibility that Catherine may have been what's called a fallen girl, euphemism for a prostitute, and Billy the Kid was her love child, and maybe the last name of the man who fathered her child was Bonnie. This could explain, while looking for an alias, the kid took on the last name of Bonnie. If this theory is true, then during Catherine's pregnancy or immediately after, she may have relocated, as unwed mothers often did in those days, to Indiana, or she may have met her next husband, last name of McCarty, in New York, and they traveled to Indiana together. This man could have been Joseph's father, who is Billy the Kid's half-brother, and the McCarty husband that we've been hearing about so much. Okay, in truth, back then, the records were so sketchy that these are only theories, and we have very little fact as far as Billy the Kid's mother's early life. Now, what we do know is that in 1867, 37-year-old Catherine McCarty, as she called herself then, and her two sons, William Henry and Joseph, turn up in Indianapolis, Indiana. And she resides at a house located at 199 Northeast Street. And it's there that she meets and begins a long-term relationship with a man named William Antrim, a 23-year-old labor and teamster who lived a few blocks away, and he was 14 years her junior. Now, in 1870, the two accompany each other to Wichita, Kansas, and settle in different homes. Antrim built a small cabin 6 miles outside of town and worked as a small farmer while Catherine lived in town. She lived in the building where she ran a laundry service on North Main Street and dabbled in real estate. And her son's most likely didn't attend school because the only thing close to a schoolhouse was an old soddy that collapsed within the year. So when she had time, she may have done homeschooling with her boys. Now later on, she does move herself and her sons into Antrim's cabin. The next information that we have is that Catherine does marry Antrim on March 1st, 1873. At the First Presbyterian Church in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Both of her sons are there with her. Now, fast forward a few years, and 45-year-old Catherine Antrim passes away from consumption, or the other name used at that time for tuberculosis, which was incurable at that time. Now, her husband has disappeared into the hills for prospecting and couldn't be found, so he wasn't there for his wife's funeral or to give comfort to his grieving stepsons. As a matter of fact, it was a neighbor by the name of Clara Truesdell who prepares Catherine's body for burial and helps make preparations to get her buried. And apparently she was very well known and loved by her neighbors. And she was put to rest, but she had expressed concerns to her neighbors of what was going to happen to her sons once she passed away, which unfortunately they would come to pass. All right. Now, after Catherine's death, her sons were bounced around from one family to another until their stepfather separated them and placed them in what he thought were permanent homes. Billy the Kid was placed with a Truesdell family who had just bought a hotel/restaurant where he worked for his keep, and Joseph was placed with John Dreyer, a proprietor of the Orleans Club, as an errand boy. If their mother had lived, both their lives would have turned out very differently, which is why I included this little anecdote about Billy the Kid's mother, because this is another example of just one event putting a person's course in life totally different than they would have if one of the parents, in this case his mother, would have lived and wouldn't have died when he was only 14 or 15, because this is how old he was when his mother had died. And unfortunately, he didn't start out in the best of circumstances, because when he was born back in 1859, they were living in the Irish slums of New York City. But apparently, his mother had the wherewithal to get them out of there. All right. Now, sure enough, Henry McCarty, as he was known then, has his first run-in with the law in 1875. When he assists a local street tough known as Sombrero Jack in stealing clothes from a Chinese laundry. Now, Henry hides the loot in his boarding house, but he's arrested after his landlord turns him into the sheriff. Now, this crime only carried a minor sentence, but rather than face punishment, the wire youth escapes the jailhouse by shimmying up a chimney. Now, McCarty then flees town and embarks on a career as a roving ranch hand, gambler, and a gang member. He became handy with a Winchester rifle and a Colt revolver, and in August of 1877, he killed his first man during a dispute at an Arizona saloon. Now, this is the same year he adopted the alias William H. Bonney and became known as Billy the Kid, or simply the Kid. Now, Billy the Kid is described as having a slim physique, sandy blonde hair, light blue eyes, and he wore a signature sugar loaf sombrero hat with a wide decorative band. He could be charming and polite one moment and then outraged and violent the next. A quixotic nature, he used to great effect during his heists and robberies. And according to legend, he killed 21 men during his days as an outlaw, one for each year of his life, though he likely killed far fewer than that number. Billy the Kid first earned his reputation as a gunslinger in 1878. When he participated in a bloody frontier war in Lincoln County, New Mexico. The conflict centered on a business rivalry between British-born rancher John Tunstall and a pair of Irish tycoons named James Dolan and Lawrence Murphy. Dolan and Murphy's outfit, known as The House, had long held a monopoly over the dry goods and cattle trades in Lincoln County. When they tried to intimidate Tunstall's upstart operation, the Englishman enlisted the Kid and several other gunmen to protect his property. The tensions finally boiled over in February of 1878 when Tunstall was murdered by a posse organized by Sheriff William Brady, a supporter of the House. Following Tunstall's death, the Kid and several other former employees organized themselves into a vigilante group called the Regulators and swore revenge in what became known as the Lincoln County War. The Regulators assassinated Sheriff Brady and spent the next several months shooting it out with the House's force. In July of 1878, the feud reached its climax with a deadly five-day firefight in the town of Lincoln, after which the Regulators disbanded and the two sides sealed a flimsy peace agreement. The Kid left the war with a reputation as one of the West's most skilled gunmen, but he remained wanted for the murder of Sheriff Brady. He would spend the rest of his life on the run from the authorities. Unlike the other Old West outlaws such as Jesse James, Cole Younger, or Butch Cassidy, Billy the Kid didn't make his living as a bandit. The young gunslinger stole the occasional horse, but he never once held up a bank, train, or even a stagecoach. Outside of his gunfighting days with regulators, his main criminal enterprise was rustling cattle on the New Mexico plains. The Kid was known for his easygoing personality, but he wasn't afraid to draw his six-shooter when provoked. In a four-year span between 1877 and 1881, the baby-faced outlaw was involved in the shooting deaths of some nine men, at least four of whom he killed single-handedly. One particularly legendary gunfight unfolded in January of 1880 at a New Mexico saloon. As the story goes, a drunk man named Joe Grant was terrorizing the bar's patrons and threatening to kill someone before the night was out. Sensing trouble, the Kid casually approached Grant and remarked, "That's a mighty nice-looking six-shooter you got." He then slipped Grant's gun out of its holster, spun its cylinder so that its next shot would be an empty chamber, and handed it back. It proved to be a wise move. Later that evening, Grant pulled the same pistol on the Kid and tried to shoot him in the back. When it didn't fire, the Kid drew his gun and shot Grant dead. In late 1880, Lincoln County Sheriff Pat Garrett tracked the Kid to a cabin in Stinking Springs, New Mexico, and forced his surrender. The outlaw was found guilty of the murder of Sheriff William Brady and confined to Lincoln Courthouse. He was scheduled for a date with a hangman, but on the evening of April 28, 1881, he engineered the most daring getaway of his criminal career. During a trip to the outhouse, the Kid slipped out of his handcuffs, ambushed the guard, and shot the man to death with his own pistol. He then armed himself with a double-barreled shotgun and gunned down a second guard who was crossing the street. Once in control of the courthouse, the Kid collected a small arsenal of weapons, cut his leg shackles with a pickaxe, and fled town on a stolen horse. News of the brazen escape was soon reprinted in newspapers across the country, making the Kid the most wanted man in the West. After his escape from death row, Billy the Kid spent several months hiding out on the frontier and taking refuge with sympathetic locals in Fort Sumner, New Mexico. He neglected to keep a low profile, however, and it wasn't long before Sheriff Pat Garrett and two deputies rode into town. On the night of July 14, 1881, Garrett went to the home of rancher Peter Maxwell to question him about the outlaw's whereabouts. No sooner had he woken Maxwell than the Kid also approached the house, having stopped nearby to get beef for a late dinner. When he noticed the silhouette of one of Garrett's deputies on the porch, the Kid drew his pistol and backed towards the door, shouting, "Who's that?" in Spanish. As he entered Maxwell's darkened bedroom, he spotted the shadowy outline of Garrett and once again asked, "Who's that?" Upon recognizing the Kid's voice, Sheriff Garrett drew his six-shooter and fired off two rounds in his direction. One bullet struck the 21-year-old near his heart, killing him instantly. Pat Garrett became an Old West legend for killing Billy the Kid. Yet, as the years passed, rumors circulated that the sheriff had either shot the wrong man or helped fake the outlaw's death. Questions abound, however, as to Garrett's trustworthiness and the reasons for the prompt disposal of the victim's body. Even one of his deputies present for the shooting said that the man Garrett shot was not the fugitive they had been looking for. In the late 1940s, an elderly Texas man known as Brushy Bill Roberts claimed to be Billy the Kid in the flesh, seeking pardon for the crimes of Billy the Kid, and the media took notice. His case was eventually thrown out by the governor of New Mexico, who agreed to meet with him. The governor did not believe Roberts was Billy the Kid. Roberts died a short time later, reportedly ashamed by the media circus that followed his confession. One by one, all of Roberts' claims were eventually verified. A statistical facial recognition analysis comparing Roberts to known images of the Kid suggested that the two men were actually one and the same. Now, other investigators have since theorized that the Kid lived to be an old man under the alias of John Miller. Miller's alleged remains were exhumed in 2005, but a plan to compare DNA to the Kid's have never materialized. Despite the controversy, historical records show that Billy the Kid's body was positively identified by several different people the day after his shooting, leading most historians to conclude that Sheriff Garrett got the right man. Now, Billy the Kid was a celebrity in his own time, but his legend only grew after his death thanks to dime novels, television shows, and Hollywood films. beginning with the 1911 silent film Billy the Kid. The gun-toting outlaw story has appeared on the big screen more than 50 times. Some of those famous actors to play the kid include Roy Rogers, Paul Newman, Val Kilmer, and Emilio Estevez. Shortly after the shooting, Sheriff Garrett wrote a biography of McCarty that hugely sensationalized the authentic life of Billy the Kid. The book was the first of many accounts that would turn the young outlaw into a legend of the American frontiers. Now, many would say that when Pat Garrett went ahead and became famous for having shot Billy the Kid, this was his claim to fame. But as it turns out, that claim to fame really looks like it was more of a curse than anything else. And as most people think of Pat Garrett when they look back on his entire life, he's really just considered a very unlucky lawman. He was born in Chambers County, Alabama on June 5th, 1850. And his full name was Patrick Floyd Jarvis Garrett, and he was one of seven children born to John and Elizabeth Garrett. Now, one of the things that I wanted to point out is that a lot of times everybody thinks of Billy the Kid as being a young man and Pat Garrett as being an old man. And in reality, there was only a 9-year difference between them. What that means is that Pat Garrett was in his late 20s when he shot and killed Billy the Kid. All right. Now, in his youth, Pat's father named John Garrett, he purchases a plantation in Louisiana in Claiborne Parish. And this is where Pat Garrett grows up. Now, he's described as being a tall, thin, angular man with prominent cheekbones. And he left Louisiana for Dallas County, Texas, around the age of 19. Now, there he works on the large LS Ranch in West Texas as a cowboy and as a cattle gunman when rustling was rampant in the area. From there, he joined up with W. Skelton Glenn as a buffalo hunter. However, he soon got into a disagreement with a fellow hunter over some hides. The altercation led to gunplay, and when the other man drew on Garrett, guess what? Pat Garrett shot him dead. So by 1878, he has moved to Fort Sumner, New Mexico, just as the Lincoln County Wars were drawing to an end. The battle between rival gangs spawned a storm of lawlessness and violence, which would continue in southeastern New Mexico for the next two decades. Garrett first went to work on Peter Maxwell's ranch, and a year later, he quit and worked as a bartender at a saloon called Beaver Smith's. Soon after, he married a young woman named Juanita Martinez, but she died before the end of the year. A little more than a year later, on January 14, 1880, he married Apolinaria Gutierrez, and they would have 9 children together over the years. Now, it was at the saloon that Pat Garrett met and often gambled with William Bonney, better known as Billy the Kid. The two were seen together so often, they soon took on the nicknames of Big Casino and Little Casino. And I want you to keep that in mind, and later on, we're going to look back at that coincidence when we get to the end of the story about Pat Garrett. Now, on November 7th, 1880, Garrett was appointed as the Lincoln County Sheriff. Friends or not, his first vow was to bring the current reign of lawlessness to an end, with the primary goal of apprehending Billy the Kid. On December 15, 1880, Governor Wallace put a $500 reward on Billy's head, and Pat Garrett began the relentless pursuit of the outlaw. Garrett set up many traps and ambushes in an attempt to apprehend Billy the Kid, but the kid just seemed to have an animal instinct that warned him of danger. However, that was not to last. On December 19, 1880, Garrett confronted Billy and his gang when they rode into Fort Sumner, New Mexico, killing Tom O'Foliard, but the rest of the gang escaped. Soon the determined Garrett and his posse tracked the outlaws down to Stinking Springs and surrounded the hideout. After a several-day siege, the posse killed Charlie Bowdre and captured Billy the Kid, Dirty Dave Rudabaugh, Tom Pickett, and Billy Wilson on December 23, 1880. Billy the Kid was tried and sentenced to hang in Lincoln, New Mexico on May 13, 1881. However, he escapes from jail on April 18, 1881, killing two guards in the process. Garrett went after the Kid once again and arrived at Peter Maxwell's ranch on July 14, 1881 to question him about Billy's whereabouts. Now remember, this Peter Maxwell is the same person that Garrett had worked for earlier, before he became sheriff. So all these people, their paths had crossed before this incident happened between Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid. Now, stated, Garrett is there at Peter Maxwell's ranch trying to find out if he knows anything about where Billy the Kid is at. And Maxwell and Pat Garrett are sitting in Peter's darkened bedroom in Old Fort Sumner, and Billy unexpectedly enters the room. Now, the Kid didn't recognize Garrett in the poor lighting conditions and asked, quién es, which is Spanish for who is it? To which Garrett responded with two shots from his revolver, the first striking Billy's heart. Billy the Kid was buried in a plot in between his dead friends Tom O'Foliard and Charlie Bowdre the next day at Fort Sumner's cemetery. Though the New Mexican newspaper said Sheriff Garnett is the hero of the hour, most people in the area saw him as a villain for having killed a favorite son. Although he had put his life on the line for his community, he lost the next election for sheriff of Lincoln County. Garrett then turned to ranching and began to write a book about Billy the Kid. Published in 1882, The Authentic Life of Billy the Kid, the noted desperado of the Southwest, didn't sell well, as 8 books had already beat him to the press. In 1884, Garrett ran for New Mexico State Senator, where he again lost the election. Fed up, Garrett moved his family to Tascosa, Texas, where he became captain of the Ellis, Texas Rangers. However, his role would not last long, as Garrett quit within just a few weeks and returned to southeastern New Mexico, this time to Roswell. In 1890, he ran for sheriff of the newly created Chavez County. However, when he lost, he bitterly left New Mexico once again, living in Uvalde, Texas, where he raised and raced horses for several years. In 1899, Garrett purchased a ranch in the San Andreas Mountains of New Mexico, and in October, he was appointed sheriff of Doña Ana County, New Mexico. His family stayed on the ranch while Pat worked in Las Cruces, Mesilla, and Doña Ana. On December 16, 1901, President Theodore Roosevelt, infatuated by gunslingers in the West, appointed Pat Garrett as a United States Customs Collector at El Paso, Texas. However, it was a controversial appointment, and when his term was over in 1905, Roosevelt refused to reappoint him. Garrett and his family returned to the ranch only to find Garrett in the midst of financial difficulties due to back taxes and liability for a loan he had co-signed for a friend. Becoming increasingly morose over the situation, he begins to drink and gamble way too much, and however, still trying to make a living, he starts a new horse breeding operation. To help with his financial problems, Garrett leases part of the land to a man named Wayne Brazil, who was to graze cattle upon the land. However, Pat Garrett finds out not too long after that Brazil has brought several thousand goats, which were considered to be even worse than sheep as far as cattlemen were concerned. Owing money to many people in the Roswell area, Garrett desperately approached another rancher named Carl Adamson in January of 1908 to see if he might be interested in buying his ranch. However, when Pat Garrison is nearing Adamson's home, Adamson's wife, Amanda, orders him from the property at gunpoint. For what reason, I'm not sure. Eventually, though, Adamson and Garrett meet. They agree on the sale. But William Brazil refuses to break his 5-year lease unless Garrett buys the goats. Brazil and Garrett made the deal, but soon Brazil wanted even more money. Though angry, Garrett finally agreed to Brazil's terms. On February 29, 1908, Garrett and Adamson were in a buckboard bound for Las Cruces, where they would meet Brazil to close the deal. Now, on the way, Brazil catches up with them, and their words grow heated. In other words, they're arguing. And in the middle of this, Adamson is threatening to back out of the purchase. Afterwards, Brazil rode on while Garrett and Adamson continued in the buckboard. Or at least it's the story that was given. Just miles outside of Las Cruces, they stopped the wagon, and while Adamson was relieving himself off the back of the buckboard, three shots rang out. Pat Garrett lay dead. Adamson left his body in the desert and continued on to Las Cruces. Once there, Adamson swore he never saw who shot Garrett, and Brazil confessed to the shooting, claiming it was self-defense. When the body was retrieved, numerous cigarette butts were found off the trail, indicating that someone had been waiting for them. This led to the belief that the shooting was an obvious conspiracy involving two or more people. Allegedly, Brazil took the fall for the murders because he was single. Also implicated in the killing was hired assassin Killen Jim Miller because Carl Adamson was married to a cousin of Jim Miller's wife, Sally. However, most historians deem this unlikely. While Garrett's remains lay in the undertaker's parlor, dozens of gawkers came to see the man who had killed Billy the Kid. On March 5, 1908, he was buried in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Brazil was later tried. However, he was acquitted of the crime. Controversy still exists over whether Garrett's murder was a conspiracy in order to gain his land or if it was just simply the dispute with an irate Brazil. Fast forward many, many years. In May of 2017, Doña Ana County officials announced in a press release that a county clerk's office employee had found a document in a box of unarchived materials dated July 9, 1908. It is the handwritten coroner's jury's report signed by seven jurors that references Wayne Brazil's involvement. According to the press release, the document says, "We, the undersigned justices of the peace and coroner's jury, have attended the investigation of the body of Pat Garrett, who was reported dead within the limits of Precinct No. 20, County of Doña Ana, Territory of New Mexico, on about 5 miles northeast of the town of Las Cruces, and find that the deceased came to his death by gunshot wounds inflicted by one Wayne Brazil." Now, the mystery still remains, why was Wayne Brazil acquitted of the charge? Was it a conspiracy? Or could it be that when Pat Garrett was dead, the gawkers came not because he was admired as a lawman, but because he was the man that was famous for having killed Billy the Kid almost 30 years after he had killed Billy the Kid. And it almost makes you think that when their paths crossed, little casino, big casino, is it possible that at some time Pat Garrett realized that it would not be such a good idea just to kill Billy when he could just pretend that he had killed him, go collect the $500 reward that they were offering, and let Billy the Kid live on in anonymity? Because maybe around that time is when Billy the Kid is realizing, if it's not now or later, someone's going to come for me. So who knows if these two men, who at one time were such good friends at a casino that they shared a common name, came to an agreement and each one got what they wanted out of the deal. Okay. But maybe Pat Garrett didn't realize just how infamous instead of famous he would become for being the killer of Billy the Kid. Either way, the mystery as to who killed Pat has been solved. But as to the truth of who truly lies in Billy the Kid's grave in New Mexico is still to be solved. And maybe one of these days we will have the truth on that.